the book of Acts, chapter number 20. Book of Acts, chapter number 20. I feel a little God here this morning. I appreciate the Sunday school message. Hallelujah. The Bible said in Acts 20 and verse number 6, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. This is Paul talking on a journey. And came to them to Troas in 5 days. I seen last night where now you can get there in 55 minutes. What used to take a long time don't take long today. Look like the old timers live forever, but life is short today. My, I thought I never would be old enough, Brother Kevin, to finally get my driver's license, but I'm grandpa today. Life is short. So he said that he went 5 days and he abode 7. He got there in 5, but he stayed 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, like this, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech till midnight. You just think I'm a long-winded preacher. There were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep as Paul was long preaching. Makes me feel better. My goodness, if folks would go to sleep under a man like that preaching, makes me feel a whole lot better. Brother David, that church I was raised in, the song leader sat on the front bench all the time, like you and Brother Tim. I was a little old boy at old dead church. I remember he was a dairy farmer, and he'd been up, you know, early, and preacher was a little bit long and a little bit routine. I agree with that. And I noticed him doing this. All of a sudden, the only time I ever heard him shout, he fell forward and he realized what he'd done, and he lifted himself up off the floor and he said, "Amen." So a pause, long preaching, he sunk down with sleep. And he fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again and broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. They brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Thank you for standing this morning, honoring the reading of the Word of God. I'm interested over there in verse number 7. We set up on the first day of the week when the disciples come together to break bread. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. I've been preaching in these days on messages at midnight. Look these Bible principles up, and it's only found in a few passages of this mention of midnight. We talked earlier the first message of Exodus chapter 11 and 12. There was a message of redemption. Aren't you glad that God said that there'd be a great death come across the land? A cry made that was never none like it. But He said, "You've got an opportunity." He said, "If you'll take of you a lamb, if you'll kill that lamb, you'll take its blood and apply it upon the doorpost of your home. When that death angel comes across," He said, "I'll see the blood and I'll pass over you." Oh, I'm so glad this morning that Brother Jerry, he don't see me as a sinner, but He sees me under the blood. Oh, I'm so glad that the blood is still pliable today. I'm glad the blood is still beneficial today. Oh, it's still in the blood, Brother Randy. And we see in that message of midnight, it was a message of redemption. By the way, in this late hour, I'm glad it's still the blood. It's not joining a Baptist church. It's not doing better till you can do better. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not trying to do the best you can. But honey, it is being your sins washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that we're saved by grace through faith. Not of works, it's not of ourselves, lest we would boast. I'm glad it's what our holy Lamb done on Calvary's tree one day. Shed His blood for the sins of this whole world. Oh, I'm glad it can be applied this morning in this late, late dark hour. I'm glad it can be applied. So we've seen there was a message of midnight of redemption. And then we seen in Matthew 25, not only did we have a message of redemption, there was a message of a return. Jesus came out in the midnight hour. He said a cry was made. And they cried and said, go out to meet Him. That cry is coming one of these days. And the Lord's going to send from heaven with a shout. For the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. All of our loved ones that's been buried in a graveyard, they're getting up. Though on getting up morning, hallelujah. Boy, it's going to be a getting up time. And then Paul said, then we which are alive by the Spirit of God and remain. In other words, we're going to be living in this earthly body. We have the Spirit of God in us. The Holy Ghost has come by and quickened us, made us alive. Now God lives in us. We're spiritually ready to go to heaven. He said they're going to get up out of the graveyards. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him. My, Brother Randy, I hardly wait to see the old man of God that won me to Jesus. Brother Wayne that told me about there's a payday coming someday that there was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. He's going to get up out of that old graveyard and He's going to get Him a new body. And I'm going to get a new body. I'll have no more sore throats and no more heartaches and pains and no more tears or trials or tribulations. I'm glad we're going to be caught up together with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank God we're not coming back to this place in this kind of body. We're going to get a new body. Thank God this thing's a wearing out. I mean, it's a winding down. I mean, I'm telling you today, it's amazing how your body wears down. But oh, I'm glad I'm going to a city where the builder and the maker's God, where my Jesus is on the throne. We'll see Him as the wounded lamb and we'll cry, holy, holy, holy. I'm glad it's coming, a midnight return. And we're going to get out of this dark, dark hour. And then we see not only the midnight redemption and midnight return, but we looked last Sunday, Paul and Silas, there was a midnight rendition. In other words, they were in a place where God had took them to. And they were singing the right kind of song, preaching the right kind of sermon. And the old jailer heard them. Boy, that's the day the jailer got arrested. Ain't you glad there's a time in your life, Brother Randall, when God arrested you by the Holy Ghost and offered to you life? And he cried and said, oh, what must I do to be saved? The most wonderful words a man, woman, boy could ever say. What must I do to be saved? And aren't you glad in this midnight hour there are some men that still know to tell you what to do to get you to heaven? Honey, Jesus is not some way. He is the only way this morning. The way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. And oh, there was a midnight rendition. But this morning, I want to preach real briefly, just a few minutes this morning. If God had helped me and the Holy Ghost to trust me out of verse number 7, on a midnight reminder. A midnight reminder. Now there's something going on here in this story. First of all, I'm reminded about some landmarks. The Bible said in verse number 7, and if on the first day of the week when the disciples came together. I want to tell you something. Some of y'all need to get some glue in your britches and find yourself at the house of God on Sunday. And on Sunday night and on Wednesday night. Well, we see here a reminder about the old landmarks, the landmark of Sunday when they gather together. On the first day of the week, disciples came together. This is the first day of the week. No longer do we recognize the Sabbath day as when we go to church. Why? Because Jesus got up on that getting up morning on Sunday morning, and He's showing the world that He lives. And now we're showing the world that because He lives, we live. And so we come to the house of God as disciples in one mind and one accord simply to do this. To worship and honor Him. We have worship hour on our sign. Don't think it's strange if we worship here. That's why I want to be the pastor here. I want to lead people into worship. He's seeking those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Ain't a lot of worship going on in Baptist churches no more. They got a lot of programs and plans and routines. But, oh, God's just simply seeking us to worship Him. By the way, you know what worship means? It means worship. It'd do you good to think about what Jesus has done for you. It'd do you good to think about that one day He gave you the opportunity of life. And He breathed into you and you became a living soul. And now you have an obligation to Him to be saved. And to accept His darling Son by the grace of God, that Spirit comes in and inhabits you, fills you, then therefore you can worship Him in spirit and in truth. We see a great reminder of a landmark. On Sunday, they was together. They wasn't at the racetrack. They wasn't at the golf course. Amen. They wasn't at Talladega Speedway. They was at the house of God as good disciples. Unless I'm nearly about dead, mark her down. Sunday, I'll be at the house of the Lord. A lot of folks is looking for a way to get out. You ought to be looking for a way to get in. Oh my, this morning, real disciples come to church on Sunday and honor Him in spirit and in truth. Say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the Bible. And so we see a reminder about landmarks, reminder about Sunday. We see their commitment. My, if I was here today because I felt good, I wouldn't even got my tie on this morning. Sometimes this old flesh gets bigger than we are, and you got to whoop this flesh down by the Spirit of God. And hey, salvation ain't by feeling. I wasn't feeling saved at all. Never be it till I got up here and opened my Bible this morning. Now I'm a feeling saved. Oh, I'm telling you, the reminder about a landmark, about it being Sunday and their commitment. We ought to be committed. We ought to raise our children. Daddies, you ought to raise your children that Sunday's not just another day, but it's a day that you're going to get your family, come to the house of God, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Ladies, if you don't have a husband to bring your children, then step up to the plate, bring them at the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and God will honor your efforts of bringing your children to the house of God. We see their commitment, and then we see their closeness. I like what the Bible said, and the disciples came together. We ought to be a close-knit people. I've said it a lot and a lot. If we ought to be so close, if your stomach hurt, I could take a Rolaid and cure the whole crowd. That's how close we ought to be at the house of God. If you cry, we all ought to cry. If you hurt, we all ought to hurt. If we all are happy, we all ought to be happy. We ought to be together in one mind and one accord. It ain't no big uns, and it ain't no little uns, and the Joneses don't run this outfit. Joneses don't impress me this morning. You don't impress me what you drive or what you dress in or what kind of education you got. Honey, we all stand even at the foot of the cross this morning, and we ought to be close in our commitments today. Closeness, I love that thing they was together. And buddy, I'm going to tell you, when disciples get together, things happen. We see there commitment, their closeness, but then their communion. They was taken of the Lord's Supper. They was gathered together to break bread. They were doing what God told them to do. He said, as oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Doing the Lord's Supper, how it represented His death and His burial and His resurrection. Aren't you glad that we don't serve a Buddha? We don't serve Muhammad? But our God lives this morning. I'm glad there is communion around the house of the Lord. And so we see this reminder about landmarks. Landmarks about Sunday. And then landmarks about a sermon. I want to say this. The Bible said when they got together, Paul preached unto them. What's happened to this simple, old-time, old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching? Why, now it's 12:15, and I just got warmed up pretty good. And it's amazing to me how people, why they can go out and they'll sit at the ball game. If it goes in an extra inning, they go back to work and tell everybody, man, it went into overtime. If you watch the U.S. Open today, my, if there's a playoff, you'll go to work and you'll tell everybody, it went into overtime. They played 2 or 3 extra holes or a few more innings. I wish we'd get that kind of excited down at the house of the Lord. And when it goes in overtime, we'd shout and not pout and thank God for what He's doing in our lives. I done told y'all, you go out to them 12 o'clock buffets, you're going to get that stuff they put out at 10:30. But you let the rest of that crowd get in there and eat that old soggy stuff up, and they'll give you good stuff about 1:15. This morning, I'm telling you, friend, oh, there's some landmarks about Sunday and landmarks about sermons. I like that He preached unto them. Well, I don't like going down there. That preacher preaches unto me. Duh. You take your car down to the mechanic shop to get it worked on. You pull in there and you ain't pulled in a Mickey D's or a Burger King. Don't think it's strange if you get preaching here. Not a lot of entertainment, but preaching. And I'm going to tell you why I'm a stickler on preaching. I believe it's Bible-based. I believe it's one of the greatest doctrines of our church that our Baptist churches have said. Matter of fact, they want somebody to babysit in hospital. They don't want no preacher in a Baptist church. They want a babysitter. They want somebody to change diapers and wipe noses. They don't want many preachers rearing back saying there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shine. They don't care if you can preach a lick, Brother Randall. We just want you to marry and bury us. Run around and hold our hands while we could do it ourselves. He preached unto them. We need preaching. And let me tell you something. If a man's going to have a message and preach, he's got to study to preach. He's got to lay with God to be ready to preach. I can't run in the world all week and get up and you hear from God. I got to give myself prayer time, study time. I mean, big maintenance on this thing of preaching, especially when you're a man like me. Boy, I got so much flesh on me, it's unbelievable. But my, look at the boys He sends us. Must take a lot of maintenance like you boys. and girls. Some of you girls like wildcats. You need preaching. This flesh is wicked. Now I'm going to tell you this morning, you ought to thank God that you can sit in a church and have preaching. We ought to teach our children it's the one of the most priorities of the day, and the hour is preaching. I don't like preaching. Well, you get right with God, you'll like preaching. So the landmarks of Sunday and the landmarks of sermons, he preached a sermon. And boy, I seen this, it grabbed my heart. The Bible said there was he had a parting sermon. Brother Joe said it this morning. He said, Paul preached to them ready to depart on the morrow and continue his speech in the midnight. In other words, Paul seen he had just a short time to say a lot. I'm going to tell you folks, it's later than it's ever been. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but I can tell you this, just as sure as a marten goes to her gourd, he's a-coming. And it's sooner right now than it was when I started in this sermon this morning. We see a landmark of a sermon. He preached a sermon, and there was a parting sermon. And then I want to say it was a pretty long sermon. Eutychus, he sunk down because Paul was long preaching. Now, I tell you what they taught me in Bible college. I got about 20 minutes. I remember I went to church one time, tried out as preacher. And I done there all I know how to do, Brother Philip, undo my tie and run around and shout and holler and cry. And he said, you know, you might amount to something one of these days if you'll do two things. If you'll stay in that pulpit and preach about 25 minutes, you could be our preacher here. I said, well, I can't be your preacher there. Long preaching. Ain't it amazing how we're so commercialized? 12 o'clock is supposed to be time to get out. 11 o'clock we start. Announcements, 11:15. Choir comes down, 11:25. Preacher makes announcements again. He's got 30 minutes to shell the corn, give an invitation to somebody to get saved, and then we go eat chicken. About the time God gets ready to do something, we going home. The black folks got it right about going to church. They just go to church and meet till God gets done, and they go to the house for the day. But oh, we so glorified, you know. Ain't we something in our pious ways? I mean, we know how to go to church, don't we? Long preach. I wonder how many of y'all would stay with me if I preached to midnight tonight. Man, that Father's Day vittles y'all got today would go bad, wouldn't it? I wonder how many stay with me to midnight. Don't nobody faint. I ain't going to try it. I don't feel like it. I got a funeral at 3. But I wonder how many would stay in there where you're preaching to midnight. Oh, my, we see this reminder of landmarks. And then I want to say there's a reminder about some lamps in verse 8. You ever notice what happened? And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Who was they? Oh, you seen a couple of them this morning. A couple of them stood up at the same time, turned their lights on. Boy, I want to say about these lamps, a reminder about these lamps. These lamps are accountable. They were clay vessels that were made to shine. Can I tell you this morning, as a child of God, we're nothing but clay vessels that God come by, put oil in us, and He made us to shine. He said, let your light shine that men may see your light and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Brother Jerry said it right. How in the world did you make it? One day Jesus come by and turned the light on. And boy, I'm thankful for that this morning. So we see the lamps, a reminder about landmarks, but a reminder about lamps. They were accountable. I'm going to tell you, Christian, we are accountable to a lost and a dying world. It does matter how we act. It does matter where we go and what we say and what kind of jokes we tell and what kind of booze we drink and what kind of lottery tickets we buy. You ought to be a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, you ought to put your sign down. You would be surprised, as a pastor of this church, the people out here, I ain't going down there, them hypocrites. But I know they just hunting stuff. They hunting stuff about me. And honey, it don't take you long. You can find a pile on me. But we ought to let our light shine. And we ain't got no excuse. Don't tell me the devil made you do it. No, no. Because he said with every temptation we'd have, he'd make a way of escape. We had a choice. We had a choice. And I'm telling you, a reminder about lamps. We need to let our light shine. If we're fussing and a huffing, what kind of light's that shining? We need to let our light shine. Well, Brother Ken, you don't understand this, what kind of environment I'm in every day. Well, God wants your light to shine in that darkness. You lose your temper and you're cussing and you're talking like the devil. How in the world can you influence anybody in darkness? Brother Joe read it this morning. We stand before the Lord. We're going to give an account to whom much is given, much is acquired. Some of you boys, God jerked you out of a hell hole of this world, put the Holy Ghost in you. He requires a lot out of me and you. He ain't saved you just to get you to heaven. He saved me and you to turn a light on. And oh, we see a reminder about some lamps. Accountable. They were abundant, said it was many of them. Thank God there's many of them around this morning. I thank the Lord. Wednesday night we had two men on the floor testifying and preaching at the same time. This morning we had two on the floor testifying and preaching at the same time. Had a great Sunday school message, but not a lot of people's here to hear it. Shake that mute head. Don't look at the floor. It ain't time to pray yet. I'll tell you when we're going to pray in a few minutes. Lamps, they were accountable and they were abundant and they were appropriate. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, these old holy lives. Boy, I think about these saints of God that have died and gone on, that's been here, that's put a lamp on. Brother John D., what a light. Fellas, what a light he was. He took his office serious. What a light. He took his Christianity serious. Miss Dorothy, a little old woman could call heaven down. Miss Orion. Church of God, Granny come in. I'll never forget. She said, I've heard y'all preaching on the radio. Said, I come down here this life. Said, do you care if I come? I said, I want you to come. Boy, what a blessing she was. A lot of these. Brother Grover, the most humble, meek man I've ever met in all of my... Never met a man like Brother Grover Weisner. Never. My goodness, what kind of lights they've shined in front of us. Many. And so there's a reminder about landmarks. There's a reminder about lamps. In verse 9, there's a reminder about a law. So the Bible said, and they're set in a window. Oh, I wished I had time to preach this morning. And they're set in a window, a certain young man named Eutychus been fallen into deep sleep. Paul was long preaching. He sucked down with sleep, fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead. There's a reminder about a law. There's a reminder about a law of setting. He was setting out too far from the crowd. And matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. When you're sitting in a window seat, I'll tell you what you can do. You're looking outside much as you are on the inside. Boy, a lot of folks looking out there in that world, and it looks real good, don't it? Jesus said, look up for your redemption draweth nigh. Be careful where you sit. I've noticed people that distant theirself from the assembly, before long, they fell out. And then I've noticed this about Pastor and Baptist for years. Them that fell out, they went to leaning that way. But they've used the preacher as an excuse, Brother Randall. They've used some of you for an excuse. And the matter is, they just won't have no stickability in them and stand up. Let me tell you something, honey. It ain't easy being a Christian. It ain't easy being faithful at the house of God. It ain't easy. It ain't easy letting your light shine. But no, somebody get their feelings hurt. You know why? Because they warm in on their shoulder. Preacher, I don't like you. Well, get over it. I don't like that screaming, running you do. Well, I wonder, does God like everything you do? I don't like how you take charge and be the pastor. That's just what the Bible says do. We just hunt all kind of excuses, don't we? I mean, excuse after excuse. But we ain't got no excuses to keep us out of what we want to do. You know something? If you want a freezer ice cream, what you'll do, you'll go down to Piggly Wiggly at 3 o'clock and you'll get everything you need to make that freezer ice cream. And it don't matter how inconvenient it was that you was out of something, but you took time to go get it. We do exactly what we want to do. And when we stand before God, excuses are going to be gone. There's a reminder about some laws of setting, and there's some reminder about some sleeping. If you go to sleep, you're going to fall. Any of you ever went to sleep in a deer stand? You better be buckled in. Brother Phil, I was in a deer stand one day and fell asleep. And this was amazing to me. I knew I was in a stand. I knew I was asleep, and I was afraid to wake up. Because I knowed I was fixing to fall out of there. If you go to sleep on the Lord, you're going to fall. And it's going to cost you something when you fall. Watch where you're sitting. Watch how you're sleeping. And so there's a truth about laws. Now watch this now. And I believe this is what God wants me to say most of all today, anything in this message. There's a reminder about laws of setting, of sleeping, but there's a great law of separation there. He had no idea he is fixing to die. I got a call Thursday. Got a call Friday morning. Is this Pastor Bowman? Yes. There's a family's called for you at the home. I said, what's the problem? It's been a car wreck that was fatal. I said, who is it? They said, Brother Scott, I tore out and I went home. There was devastation every place. There was a man that's 37 years old on his way to his job Friday morning. He didn't make it home. And you know, when I walked in that coffin last night and looked, God ain't no respecter of age. He ain't no respecter of time. I've preached over little babies that have sat on this communion table. And I've preached over saints of God 80, 90 years old. Death is no respecter of person. And there's a reminder about a law that you don't know when death is coming for you. You don't know. I may not make it to that funeral at 3 o'clock. I may not make it, Miss Flo, to be back to your pastor tonight. There's a reminder of a law. My girls, as much as I love them, there are no rules of order that say they'll live to my age. Mom and daddies, you've got nothing in that book to assure you your babies will make it grown. Give my grandbaby. We ain't got no promise.
We got no promise about this life. Only promise about death. Promise about hope. That Jesus hung on a cross and died for us. I wish some of you would get involved in your kids dying instead of so much about their living. Wish you was teaching them how to die instead of how to play ball. Ain't it wonderful to be saved? Lord, Olivia, come down this morning. The preacher said, I got saved the other week. I want to come tell you, the Lord saved me and I want to be baptized. Young lady, come Wednesday night, fell right there. Preacher, I want to be saved, I'm lost. Young lady last Sunday nailed by that post. Give her heart to God. It's a reminder about a law. You better listen to the man of God this morning. You may laugh. You may walk out and say, that preacher's crazy. But when you lift your eyes in hell, you remember something. Ken Bowman told you this at service. That there's a heaven to gain. And there's a hell to shun. And you can get out of hell by faith. You can accept Christ to save you. And if you don't, hell will be your home. There's a reminder at midnight. Miss Sherry, come. About a law. The law or the principle of this Bible. We know not the hour. I want to ask you something. Are you ready to die? No, I'm not asking you lining up, getting on the porch, wanting to go this morning. I want to know, are you ready? People treat life and death like a joke. Seen people in coffins that have Budweiser in their coffin. And probably where they headed, they hoped to God they could open that Budweiser and pour it on them one of these mornings. Make fun, a mockery of death. Boy that killed Miss Cindy went to a funeral home. Brother Rand had him on a rebel jacket. Said, rebel to thee. And I said, yeah, buddy, in hell, you're a rebel. You say, preacher, I didn't know you're supposed to be a judge. I'm not. I'm a fruit inspector. People have been saved. They live for God. And them don't. They die and go to hell. He may took his rebel flag right on into hell. Honey, it ain't doing him no good this morning. And I know you don't build up a big crowd what I'm preaching today. But you better be sure, honey, just as sure as I'm standing here breathing this morning, there's a God in heaven died for you. Amen. And you reject what He give for you, He has no other option but to put you in hell. There's a reminder. Midnight. There's a reminder of landmarks, of lamps, of laws, but there's a reminder of lives. In verse 10, when he fell out, this is what Paul did. He went down to where he was. I'm glad I've sat under some men of God that knew where I was. Not think they a step above me. Thank God, Brother Adam, for some men that's reached down when I fail. Pick me up. Brother David, Brother Tim, this Bible said, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. Right. Considering thyself. Right.
We better watch that, I told you so. Failure ain't final. Won't you just dust off your britches this morning and get to serving God? You going to give that excuse to your kids the rest of your life? Well, so-and-so hurt me. I got out of church. I'm hurt, this, that. Won't you just brush all that off this morning and go on for God? He went down to where he was. Thank God. One day, old Brother Elmer Cason come down to where I was. Told me about Christ. I got saved. I'll never forget the day he looked at me and said, "Boy, you saved." I knowed I wasn't saved. I knowed I'd been baptized, but I knowed nothing had never happened to me. I knew that. And you that are lost this morning, you know nothing's never happened to you by the grace of God. You know that. Won't you simply just throw your hands up to Him this morning and say, "Lord, save me a sinner. God, I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of worrying about my eternity. God, I'm tired of playing this lie. God, I want You to save me today." And I'm going to tell you, according to this Bible, He said He'd save you if you'd come. He said He'd in no wise cast you out. But you've simply got to come as a little child. Trust Christ. A lot of people say you got to say this, you got to do that. You don't. You got to come trust Christ. Hon, you.